Well, I'm glad to be here to share with you guys tonight. You know, Brother AJ has a lot of gifts here at the church, but after him wearing that shirt tonight, I'm convinced he must have the gift of prophecy, because that's exactly what we're talking about tonight, is finishing strong. I like that shirt. I was kind of torn between where the Lord is taking me with my message tonight. And if you saw the news break last week on Coach Hugh Freeze, it kind of just cemented where I wanted to go with it. If you don't know Hugh Freeze, he was the football coach at Ole Miss. Had to resign last week due to what they called personal misconduct. And basically they had proven that he had made some inappropriate phone calls, and it had become a trend in his life. And while that's tough to see for any married man, it was even more tough to read for me, because Coach Freeze, if you don't know, is a very strong believer, very outspoken in his faith in Christ. We had actually just had an article on him in our FCA magazine pretty recently. So it was tough news for me to read. And it seems like that's been a trend all too lately for us, whether it's Coach Hugh Freeze in the spotlight, or whether it's a pastor, or whether it's just a neighbor down the street. But all too often it seems like God's people are not living a life above reproach, as Paul said, living that godly lifestyle that we've been called to live. And I'm not here to judge Coach Freeze tonight, but what I've learned is that honestly we're all what I like to call one step from stupid. You know, we're all just a few bad choices away from ruining our ministry, if you're in the ministry, from ruining our witness. Because whether right or wrong, Coach Hugh Freeze will never be able to reach people like he once did. Now, he can repent, he can be forgiven, just as all of us can, but you and I both know that there's people that will look at him and say, oh, that's that hypocrite like all those other Christians. And he just won't quite have the same reach, the same impact as he once had. Whether that's right or wrong, that's the sad realization. You see, he spent a lifetime, a career, building up his name, building up the program at Ole Miss, and it's and a few bad decisions, a few bad phone calls, and a 20-minute press conference, really all it took for that to come crumbling down. And I think tonight that you and I need the same humility to realize that we're just a few bad choices, a few bad mistakes away from having the same thing happen to us. Maybe not the same sin, but we're all capable of sin coming into our lives and ruining that good name, that reputation, that witness that we have for Christ. So tonight what I want to do is I want to share with you a message that stemmed from youth camp. So this might sound familiar to some of y'all if you were paying attention, hopefully, at camp. But it's a message that has been on my heart just from preparing for that. And like I said, as I got ready for this week, the Lord just kind of led me back here once I saw that news break. But our theme at camp was Christ before all. It was also 1 Colossians 1:17, and it was the idea of how do we live our lives Christ before all? Everything we do, everything we say, the decisions we make, how does everything we do reflect that our heart's greatest desire is to know Christ and to make him known? But specifically tonight, I want to address it from this point. How do we live that lifestyle? How do we live Christ before all, but how do we do that forever? Not just for a few months to be on fire, not just for a few years, but from the day of salvation to the day they put us in the grave, or to the day Christ returns, how do we finish strong, as AJ's shirt says? That's the message I want to share with you guys tonight. Because I don't know about you, but whether Christ returns first or whether you know, I pass away, I don't want people to talk about, man, he could really throw a baseball, or he could really throw a football. I hope the first thing people think about when they see the news of my passing is that guy loved Jesus. He loved to preach his word. He loved to witness about Christ. I hope that's what they say about me. And I hope I can say what Paul said. If you remember in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said this. He was a dying man. He was looking back on his life and his ministry. And he said, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You see, the last words of Paul were to that young apostle Timothy, that young disciple. And he said, Timothy, Grace Baptist, I want you guys to be able to look back one day and say, I fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I did it in a way that honored Christ. And you might say, well, Cole, I'm no Paul. You know, that's Paul. Well, Paul wasn't special because of Paul, was he? You see, Paul was special because on the road to Damascus, Paul saw the glory of God revealed to him. He was transformed. He was changed into a new man. He went from Saul to Paul. You see, Paul wasn't Paul because of who Paul was. He was Paul because he had Christ in him. So we don't have to be Paul. We just have to be willing to let Christ work in our lives. And I'm going to give you 3 points, 3 steps, whatever you want to call them tonight, that I hope can help you as they have helped me. How can we live a life Christ before all, and how can we do that forever? So if you would, flip with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. We're going to begin there in verse 2. Now, to kind of set the stage for this, through the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul has basically been talking about the great gospel of Jesus. If you remember in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He says, the power of salvation for all who believe, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Later on in chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, he said, all have sinned, all have fallen short. But he says, there's grace through the man Christ Jesus. There's redemption through him. There's forgiveness of sins. We can be justified. If you remember in chapter 5, he talks about how sin entered the world through the one man, Adam. But then he talks about through the one man comes forgiveness and grace through the man Christ Jesus. In Romans 8, he says, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Later on in verse 35, he says, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God for those who know Christ. Probably some of the most famous is in Romans 10:9-10. He says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you will be saved. You can have everlasting life. And then in chapter 11, he finishes up talking about the great mercy that is offered through God in Christ Jesus. And he says then, so in light of all that, in light of this great gospel, this good news of salvation through Christ, he says, in light of that, here's some instruction on how we should live. He says in verse 1, he says, we should offer, because of this news we've heard, because of the gospel, we should offer our lives as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. He says, this is our spiritual worship. And then in verse 2, what I want to study now, he says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that then you can discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So the first step that I think you and I have to do if we're going to live Christ before all, not just today and tomorrow, but until they put us in the grave, the way we live Christ before all is by having our mind renewed every single day. So right off the bat, Paul says, look, we can't be conformed. We can be in the world, but not of the world. There's a world out there. It's going to be conformed to this one image, and that's not how we're supposed to look. I've just shared with you for 11 chapters the great gospel of Christ. He says, if you know that, if you believe that to be true, he says, you've got to live differently, not to be conformed, yet be transformed. That word transformed is a very interesting word. It means to change, to take on a new form or appearance. It makes me think of the movie Transformers. You got those, the Camaro, the bright yellow Camaro. You've got the 18-wheeler. I think there's some motorcycles. And they go from that to this fighting Autobot, as they call them, right? It's something completely different. Paul went from Saul to this great man of God, right? There was a transformation that took place on the road to Damascus. But what's so interesting about that word transformation is that it means a continual thing. It's a continuous change. Now, of course, salvation must take place first, right? There's that initial raising something dead, making it alive in Christ, that rebirth. But this word means that that's a continual process. Theologians call it sanctification, right? The idea that we should continually be transformed daily into the image of Christ. And then, of course, that great, glorious day, one day, he's going to fully redeem us, right? We're going to get rid of this sinful flesh and the sinful nature. We're going to be with him in glory, and we'll be fully redeemed. But for now, Paul says, if you've heard this great gospel, we've got a duty, we've got a job to do. Not to be conformed to this world, to be transformed. You see, so often Christians, I think we look at salvation as like this end goal. You know, we hear it preached, which is a great thing. We see it received, we see people come forward to the altar, and that's a wonderful thing. But I think we had this idea that it's like the end goal, like, hey, I've reached salvation. I've gotten there. But you see, that's where the work really begins. One of my great mentors, my friends, he put it this way. He said, we don't work for salvation, but we work from salvation. Right? That's when the work really begins. It doesn't take work to become a Christian, but it does take work to grow as a Christian. And you know, so many people think that they're just going to wake up, they're going to be like Paul, or they're going to be like Billy Graham, or Brother Frank, or Brother Marty, or whoever you want to throw in there. But it takes work for us to grow as a Christian, and too few people are willing to put in that work. And I think that's why we don't always finish our race strong, because we don't put in the work. So he says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Then he tells us how to do that. How do we continuously get transformed into the image of Christ? And he says, we've got to have our mind renewed. The only way we can do that is that we've got to think differently. And every day you and I wake up, and whether it's of our own doing or just the job we go to, we get filled up with things of this world, right? Whether it's the TV we watch, the music we listen to, and sometimes it's out of our control. We talked about it in Man Cave one time. Sometimes you're watching a superhero movie with your kids and the commercials are garbage, right? You know, sometimes the ads, I listen to Pandora while I'm working out, and I'll be listening to Christian radio and the ads are just terrible. I'm like, why is that guy be on Christian radio? So sometimes it's not quite our fault, but a lot of times we fill ourselves with things that we've got to get rid of. We've got to be renewed. And the two best ways that I know to be renewed are in God's word and by being with God's people. You see, Ephesians 6 says that we've got to put on the armor of Christ to fight this spiritual battle. But you can only put on the armor if you know what the armor is, right? I mean, you've got to be reading God's word each and every single day. And what I've noticed is when we read God's word, or better yet, when we study it and we meditate on it, and we do the things like Precept Ministry does, I don't know about you, but the more I read it, I just get in awe of Jesus. I get in awe of what he did. And I think when we get to that point, when we look to him and we're in awe of him, it's in that moment that Christ can transform us to his image. You see, we're getting rid of that filth. We're putting on the gospel lens. We're trying to put the blinders on. We're focusing on Christ. And I think it's in that moment where we're just in awe of who he is and what he's done. I think that's when we can get renewed in the way we think. And the second way is by fellowshipping with believers, by fellowshipping with God's people. Me and Caitlin had kind of a busy summer. We were going speaking at camp. Then I had an FCA camp the next week, and then we tried to have an anniversary trip, and got food poisoning me in the wedding party I was in, so that didn't quite. Then we went on another family vacation, but a lot of travel. I didn't really get to be in church on a regular basis. And I don't know about you, but that bothered me. It just didn't feel right not being in God's house with God's people. You see, the people that we surround ourselves with is who we're going to eventually become. And we preach that to our kids all the time. If you look at your five best friends, that's who you're going to become in 10 years. And we don't always get to control who we're around. Like I said, at work, you know, you're just not guaranteed to work in a place with full believers. And I get that. But when it comes to the choices of who we hang around, it is so essential that we surround ourselves with people that's going to build us up in the faith. It's so essential that we come together as believers in Christ and worship and serve and read and grow together through Sunday school, through preaching of his word, through our own personal study. You see, Paul says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. And he says, the way you're transformed continually into Christ's image is by renewing your mind. And then he finishes up this thought in a very interesting way. He says, when you've done that, when your mind's been renewed, it's then that you can discern what the will of God is, the good, perfect, pleasing will of God. And this is another thing that is a pretty common question I get. I got asked this morning from one of my coaches. You know, what is God's will for my life? And it's different in a lot of different situations, I think. What's God's will for this job? You know, should I take this new job? Should I pick up and move me and my family? What's God's will for this relationship? Should I pursue and marry this person? What's God's will for the health in my life? So there's a lot of different scenarios that plays out, but I want to think more on a general level. I think God's will is to just be glorified in all of creation. I think it's for his people to put him first, as we've said tonight, to live a life of Christ before all, for his people to know him and then to make him known among all the nations. And he says the only way you can come to that understanding is if you're not like the rest of the world, but you've been transformed, and it happens through the renewing of our mind. So that's the first thing I think we've got to do, is we've got to slow down. We've got to pause. And we just got to be in awe of who Christ is. We got to read his word. And that, in that moment, is when we'll be transformed to his image and we'll be more like him. Point number two is to have a content heart. We're going to be in Philippians 4, 10 through 13. You got to have a content heart. Now, this is probably one of the most well-known scriptures in all of the Bible, I would say, maybe second to John 3, 16. But to really understand what Paul is trying to say in verse 13, you've got to back up a little bit and go to verse 10. So we're going to begin there at verse 10. And Paul says this. He said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have renewed your care for me. He says, you were in fact concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances I am. I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or need, I'm able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, Paul was saying here, I appreciate this gift you've given me. Paul worked in the ministry, and of course, at times he made tents, but a lot of times he was supported in his work by gifts and donations, as pastors are today, as I am with FCA. And Paul says, look, I know for a long time you've been wanting to support me in this work of the Lord. And he says, I truly appreciate it. But then he shares that spiritual nugget with them, as Paul liked to do. He says, I appreciate this gift, but just let me share this with you. I've learned how to be content with or without it. And that when I think about content, I think about being satisfied, right? Being satisfied with what you have, what you've been given. There's a great quote by John Piper. He said this. He said, God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. And we just talked about that's what he wants, right? He wants to be glorified in all of creation. And he's glorified when our heart's greatest desire is to be content and satisfied in him. He's glorified when our heart does that. And Paul says, look, whatever the circumstances are, I've learned how to do that. And Paul's talking about the basic necessities of life. He's not talking about big house or shack. He's not talking about brand new car or driving the same one since you were 16. He says, literally, whether I'm well fed or I'm hungry, whether in abundance or need, I have learned the secret, the art of being content. You see, Paul understood that true satisfaction was found in Christ. It was in the Creator and not creation. I don't mean to keep harping on Coach Freeze, but why did Coach Freeze and why do all of us look to sin? Why did he think he needed to make that phone call? Why do we at times look away and chase sin? Because we're not satisfied in Christ, right? The greatest desire, he wasn't fulfilled and what God had provided for him, that marriage covenant between him and his wife, he wasn't satisfied in that because he wasn't satisfied in Christ. That's what it boils down to. And Paul says, look, I've learned this secret. Let me share it with you. He says, I'm content whether I've got it all or whether I've got a little. And then he shares how he can do it. He says, through Christ who strengthens me. He says, I can be content because Christ gave me the power to do it. And that tells me that you and I can have that same contentment. See, because as I said earlier, Paul wasn't Paul because of Paul. Paul was Paul because of Christ in him. And he says the secret to this contentment is found right there in Christ. So you and I can have the same contentment that he had. So point number one or step number one is that we've got to be renewed each and every day in God's word. Fellowshipping with God's people. Secondly, we've got to be content. Because when we're content, we don't look to the things of this world. We don't look to sin for fulfillment, but we find that in Christ. And then number three is this. And this is, for me, the most challenging one. One of my favorite scriptures, but also the most challenging to me is Luke 9, 23 through 25, if you want to flip there. Luke 9, 23 through 25. It says this, then he said to them all, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You see, the biggest hindrance to our growth in Christ is us. It's our flesh. You see, we wake up every day, and Cole wakes up wanting the easy way out. Cole wants temporary satisfaction. He doesn't want to deny himself and live, as Ephesians 5 says for Caitlin. He doesn't want to serve her out of sacrificial love, but he wakes up trying to be selfish. He wakes up wanting that temporary satisfaction. That's what my flesh wants, but every day I've got to wake up and realize, as Paul talked about in Romans, he said, because of this great gospel that I've heard, I've got to be renewed. I've got to be content in Christ. I've got to deny this selfish pleasure for something much, much greater. So he says, we've got to deny ourselves. You see, in the Gospels, Jesus didn't preach this prosperity gospel so prevalent in our society today. So often pastors stand up and say, here's how to have your best life now. But our best life may not be now. Jesus didn't go around saying, if you follow me, you'll have this and you'll have that. But he said, if you're going to follow me, you get to deny yourself and you get to pick up your cross every single day. So when I think about deny, I think about to reject and to refuse, to disregard our own interest. It makes me think about basketball for some reason. You know, the goal of basketball is to get the ball in the hoop, right? And the defender tries to deny that. He tries to reject that. So every day when I wake up and I want to satisfy myself, I've got to deny that. I've got to reject that for Christ and for the people around me. And the thing I've learned over the past 6 years since I began that walk, that invitation to follow Christ, is that it truly is an every single day thing. I mean, it really is. You've got to pick up your cross every day and deny yourself and follow Him. It makes me think about a song you may know from Casting Crowns. And it says, it's a slow fade. And it truly is a slow fade for us as believers, one way or the other. We can either grow in, we can dig in and dive in every day. We can grow in Christ. We can wake up and we can satisfy the flesh. And we'll look up and in 2 months or in 2 years, we'll be way, way away from where we once were in our faith. We will have drifted away. It's that slow fade every day. It also makes me think about when I was getting recruited at Mississippi State. I went to camps all the time there. I was trying to get a scholarship offer, and they had labeled me as one of their top recruits for the class of 2011. So I went there all the time, and of course, I'm a 16, 17-year-old kid, and I'm literally hanging by every word the head coach is saying. And I remember this one day, I guess it was an early morning and we just weren't playing too well. I don't remember what happened, but he gave us that good coach speech, and he had a few choice words that I won't repeat. But he said this, basically. He said, each and every day you guys come out here, as a baseball player, you can get better or you can get worse. He said, you can come out here every day with the intent to hit a spot as pitchers. Or you can come out here and you can just go through the motions, just, oh, let me just stretch it out, air it out. Or he said, you can have an intent and a purpose. I'm going to stay in my legs. I'm going to have a target. I'm going to have a purpose and intent behind hitting that target every time I throw a baseball. He said, for hitters, you can get into the cage and you can just stretch it out. You know, you can just roll it over, just get it loose. Or he said, I can have an intent. I can have a purpose. I'm going to stay behind the ball, get my hands out front, get some leverage, and I'm going to drive the ball gap to gap. And he said, there's a big difference there, right? There's a big difference. I can choose every day to get better or worse as an athlete. And I can choose every single day to either grow in Christ or drift away from Christ. We have the same opportunity every single day. And then he wraps up his thought this way. As Christ is teaching those, he says this in verse 24 through 25. He says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what is man benefited if he gains the whole world, yet loses or forfeits himself? You see, we've got this choice to deny self every single day and grow in Christ. And you know what the great thing about it is? The great thing is that when we have been renewed in our thinking, and when we're content, when we're satisfied in Christ, we actually find joy in submission to the Father. You see, just as Jesus came and did the will of His Father, even obedient to death on a cross, there was joy in that. Just as when His church submits to Jesus, who is our Lord, our King. And there can be joy in that submission. And this is why He says, you can gain the whole world, But in the end, you're going to lose it. I think about Solomon as we've studied the past few weeks here in Sunday mornings with Brother Frank. I mean, the richest and the wisest of all men literally looked out and said, whatever my eyes saw, I didn't deny it. And his eyes see a whole lot more than we do, right? So if the richest and the wisest of all men can look out and say, I didn't deny myself one thing, but as he looked back on his life, he said it was all vanity, right? It was like chasing after the wind. I could see it, but I just couldn't quite grab it. I couldn't find that fulfillment, and I couldn't find that satisfaction because it was done apart from Christ. But Jesus says here in 24 and 25, he says, if you'll die to yourself, if you'll deny that self-pleasure, you'll really get something that you can never give yourself. See, we actually find a gain through this loss of self. We find the fulfillment of Christ, which we're created to have. You see, what I've learned is that Jesus is better. You see, because I tried it the other way. I tried it Solomon's way, and my eyes didn't see quite as much as him. But growing up, I heard the gospel preached. As a pastor's kid, I was there week in and week out, and I heard the good news, but it never came into my heart. So because I didn't have that good news, I didn't have that satisfaction in Christ yet, man, my eyes went everywhere, and I tried to fulfill myself in that way, as many of you have. And it's all in vain. It's all in vanity. But thankfully, 6 years ago, finally, it began to click. And the Lord made me aware of that need for Him. He made me aware that I was so empty inside, even though I had so much stuff, because I didn't have who He was. I didn't have that relationship. I hadn't been reborn. I hadn't had my thinking, my mind renewed, and I wasn't content in Him yet. And I'll close like this. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to be the person that in 10 years, people look back and say, didn't he used to work with FCA? I mean, didn't he used to speak a lot? Wasn't he a preacher? I don't want people to say that. I want people to say, how long is he going to be with FCA? How long is he going to do this Jesus thing? I thought that would have worn out by now. I mean, it's been 10 years, hasn't it? You know, I want to be able to be like Paul. I want to look back and say, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course and I've kept the faith. One of my favorite songs, it was my walkout song in college. It's a rap song, so many of you may not know it. I'm not going to rap it for you. But it says this. It says, I've seen the Lord, and the same I'll never be. Some say they've seen the Lord, but live on casually. I don't know what you saw, but the Lord ain't what you've seen. Because once you've seen the Lord, you're obsessed with what you've seen. You see, as a young child, I thought I had seen the Lord, but man, my life didn't reflect it. I just kept on living casually. I filled myself up with things of this world, but at 18 years old, He revealed to me Himself, and I got that taste, that drink of the living water. And man, I got obsessed with what I saw. And I don't know about you, but man, I hadn't been the same since, and I don't want to be the same since then. But I think we've got to have the humility to say, I'm still just a few steps away from stupid. And I'm still just a few steps away from wrecking a good ministry that the Lord's blessed me with. I'm just a few steps away from wrecking a great wife. Just a few bad choices, just a few bad decisions away. And I hope we can all have the humility tonight to realize that we've got to be renewed in God's Word daily. As we walk this life, as we walk this journey, as we pick up that cross, the junk comes in, right? And it's got to be filtered out in God's Word. That's the only place it can be. We'll get a lot of advice in this world. We'll get a lot of opinion. But the only place that we can truly be filtered and sanctified and transformed through His image is through reading His Word, through fellowshipping with His people. We've got to learn how to be content in Christ. We've got to be like Paul, not because of who he was, but because Christ was in Paul. And we've got to say, you know what? As Jesus taught, He said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, all you could ever have, all you could ever need, all you could ever want is found in my grace because it's sufficient for you. So Cole, don't wake up and live for you, but wake up and deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. He said, because in the end, you're going to gain something that you could never give yourself. So one day I hope I can look back and you might ask, why is a 24-year-old preaching about how we finish strong? Well, the truth is, I don't know when I'll be called home. Just 2 days ago, I got a phone call at 6:30 in the morning, running a little bit late, and they called me. They said, Cole, can you get to the school this morning? We had an emergency. One of our players had been shot. We'd like for you to speak to our team. So that young man was 16, 17 years old. Now, thankfully, he's okay, going through surgeries. But so often we see the news, right? So I might be young, I might be 24, but I don't know when the trumpet's going to sound, do I? And I don't know when the Lord's going to call me home, but when he does, I won't be able to look back and say, by God's grace, I finished the race strong, and I fought the good fight. Because if I can look back and I can say that, I know I'm going to hear this. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few, so let me now put you in charge over many. Come and share in your master's joy forever. And I pray we can all hear those words one day. I pray we all can be renewed daily. We can be content in Christ, and we can die to self each and every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for the privilege, the honor to share your word. Father, I pray that in my weakness you were strong, and Lord, that your message got across to your people. Father, I just pray that we all had the humility to realize that, God, we need you. Lord, that salvation wasn't a one-time act as far as it just ends there. Lord, it was a one-time act, and you sealed us in eternity forever. But, God, when that happened, Lord, there was work to be done. Lord, it didn't take work to become a Christian. Lord, you give it to us freely, but it takes work to grow. Father, each and every day we've got to decide that we're going to deny self, we're going to pick up our cross, and we're going to chase after you, Father. And we're not going to do it for just a few months, not just a few years, but God, as long as breath is in these lungs, Lord, from day of salvation, the day they put me in the grave, I want to live a life that says I had Christ before all. Well, by your grace, I pray we could all do that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.